Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this final service. I am very happy to be the preacher on the last service of Kemeny Church. Though I have got some news from Zimbabwe. There were elections, and the elections were announced yesterday around 12 p.m. I will tell you the results after the service. And I will comment after the service. But I'm very happy to be with you, to worship together as a team, and to pray together as a family in Christ. You know, I always say this. There is one of the messages which I was preparing with the title, Remember the Journey. You know, when I came here for the first time to preach to Kemeny, my family was still in Zimbabwe. And I shared with you that my family is still in Zimbabwe. I didn't receive any money from the people of Kemeny to help me, but there is one thing which I always remember, especially as I continue to prepare my sermon called Remember the Journey. I met, you know, the first days, all of you, you were just the same. I couldn't differentiate, this is John, this is so. Were just the same to me. So I didn't know, as I was greeting the people there, there's a person who said, Tose, we heard about your story. We will pray about it. Only that statement was enough for me. So today we are going to worship the Lord together, our call to worship. Come, let us find the rock of the church, God's true Messiah, and offer worship. Then God will be our strength and Jesus our confidence as we engage with the world and all its needs. Let us worship the Lord together as we sing our first hymn, which is hymn 1796, From the Breaking of the Dawn.
I will stand on every promise of Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. We give thanks, Lord, for the pleasure of gathering here today. Continue to guide us as we join together with our neighboring church families as the combined Benahi Parish Church. Help us to go forward positively, share our talents, however small or insignificant we think they are, to enhance our collective voice and help others in our communities to join the band of your disciples, Lord. This week has been another week of contrasts, radiant sunshine with chattering birdsong, then heavy rain showers, with the extra addition of flashing lightning and booming thunder. Such variety, Lord. It can be magical to watch. Help us, Lord, to take time to stop and look around at the ever-changing vistas. As Louis Armstrong sang, I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. May we savor the variety of colors, shapes, sizes, textures around us. Your creation, Lord, is so ingenious and so complex. Unfortunately, many of us do not appreciate this wonderful world. We ask your forgiveness for this. Help us, Lord, to be better custodians of our awe-inspiring environment and encourage others to be more caring of it. Father, you gave us Jesus as an example of how we should live our lives. We often fall short with a thoughtless word or deed. We ask your forgiveness for this. Please help us to be more careful in our speech and in our actions, to be more considerate to everyone we meet and with whom we interact. Be with Tozi today as he helps us understand a section of the Gospel of Genesis. May we open our hearts to you, Lord, and continue to walk with you throughout our lives. You are our rock, our ever constant friend, and we love you. Amen.
Good morning. So today, through in the session house, we're going to be looking at the story of creation in Adam and Eve. And we actually did this story with Sunday school in January, so I think we need a little bit of a quiz with the children who are here and the big children as well, please, to help us remember what we learned in January. So will we go for it? Okay, so it's really interesting to look at the globe of the Earth. Does anyone want to find out where we are on the Earth? No? So, we are this little teeny country up here, and Tozy, you can find out, you can find where your country is. So, right down here, God made such a beautiful world, didn't he, with so many beautiful things in it. The earth keeps spinning round and round ever since it was being created.
And the very first words in the Bible tell us that in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And then the Bible tells us all about God's creation. And the first thing God created was...
And there was light, and God said, next slide, it was good. He was pleased with what he saw when he made light. And then God said, on day two, let there be. Let there be sky. He separated the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth, and he made the sky. And he said, it was good. Now, day three. So next, God brought all the waters of the earth together to make the oceans and the seas and to create dry lands between them. He covered the dry land with flowers, trees, and grass. Sam, can you see yourself? This is Sam. This is Sam at Lunan Bay a few weeks ago. In his pyjamas, as you do. And God said, it was good. Next slide. And here's our plants and trees for our very own Aberdeenshire countryside. Oh, day four. God paused. He looked at the beautiful trees and flowers and he said it was good. He continued his creation. He created the, on day five or four, where are we on? Flip over. The sun, the moon and the stars. Now, if Martin was here, then he'd probably tell us which planets I saw in the sky that night. But I thought it was pretty awesome to see that from my back garden. And God said, it was good. And God created the fish, day five, God made the fish and the birds. We've got some local celebrities here, courtesy of Zina and Robert. It's kind of hard to get a picture of birds when you're lying in the back garden looking at the sky. And God looked at them and smiled and said, it was good. And finally, God made... What did God make in day six?
People.
Yeah. God made the animals on the land and the humans made in the image of God. My children didn't know this photo was going up. And so God made all the animals, the tall giraffes and the huge elephants and the little squirrels and the kittens and the dogs and all the humans. And he made the humans in his image. And God said, it was good. When God had finished, he looked at all he created and he said, that is very good. And it was very good. And on day seven, because God had worked so hard, what did God make?
Nothing.
Nothing. He had a rest. So we're just going to have a wee prayer now, and then after the next song, we'll go out and do some of our fantastic family work next door. So Father God, we thank you that you alone are creator. You're powerful and so creative. Thank you for making us in your image and making all things very good. Amen.
Okay, this song, kind of song.
that up, I think. Tries to convince you it was just by chance. It wasn't. God did it.
I forgot one very important intimation, and if I may, I will give it now, in that we're meeting at Kintore Parish Church this coming weekend on Sunday evening at 6:30 for a service to celebrate the union of the churches. And there'll be some cakes and tea and coffee, fine pieces, at that do on Sunday night, the 3rd, at Kintore Parish Church, 6:30, and I do hope you're all able to come. So the reading this morning is from Genesis, chapter 39, and I start at the second half of verse 6. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he'd left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told them this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard this story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Our next song is "Do Not Be Afraid."
Afraid, for her hand will lead you.
Thank you. The scripture that we have read is one of the popular stories in the Bible that we used to read when we were at Sunday school, at catechism, and even at school when we were doing religious studies. But this is one of the unusual circumstances or situations that God uses to work out his purpose for his people. There is one of the interesting things here that there are more than 100 women in the Bible whose names has never been mentioned. Just heard about Potiphar's wife, heard about Lot's wife. Their names are never mentioned, but they are part of God's word for us to learn something from them. Let me give a bit of background to this story for us to understand a bit. We have Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, and he was his father's favorite son. At one time, his father made a nice cloak for him, and his brothers were not happy about it, and they were angry and they hated him for that. Fast forward, to show their anger and hatred to Joseph, their brother, they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites later on sold him to the Egyptians. But initially, as the brothers were quarreling, that whether they should kill Joseph, the brother, their brother, or else they must not. The eldest brother, Reuben, suggested that, no, we must not kill him. Let's just throw him into the pit. But the Bible says Reuben had an intention to come back and take Joseph from the pit and return him back to his father. You know, as ministers of the word, you can read one chapter today, develop a sermon. The following day, you read the same chapter, you develop another sermon. You know, one day as I was reading the story of Joseph, we have read that Joseph was later on was promoted to be the governor in Egypt. I wrote a sermon titled From the Pit to the Palace. And I wrote one of the sermons that the plan of Reuben to take Joseph out of the pit and later on return to him to his father was a good plan. And all of us would agree that Reuben had a heart and it sympathized with his brother. But that was against God's plan. Have you heard me? It was a good idea for Joseph to be taken out of the pit and to be returned back to his father. According to our human understanding, Reuben was a good brother. But that was not God's plan. God had some plans for Joseph. So here now, Joseph is working in Egypt as a slave, working under Potiphar. Potiphar was in charge, one of the officials of Pharaoh. He was a big man. He was the captain of the guard, meaning to say he was an executioner. So there are two characters here that we want to learn about today. Mainly we have got Potiphar's wife and we have got Joseph, the slave. I'm going to center much on Joseph, though I will talk a bit about Potiphar's wife. What do we learn from Potiphar's wife? The one who was attracted to Joseph. After she failed to achieve what she wanted, she planned to destroy Joseph. You know, when lust is the arrow, U-S-T, is not satisfied, it turns to hatred. So we see it in this story that Joseph was later on accused of something that he never did. But the Bible tells us that, but God was with Joseph. So we learn about the abuse of power which was used by Potiphar's wife. We also learn about the bad moral behavior which was done by Potiphar's wife. We can talk a lot and a lot about Potiphar's wife, but it may end diverting us from the focus, the fulcrum of today's message. Turning to Joseph, the interesting part is there are just two people in the house, Joseph and Potiphar's wife. So, in any case, it was difficult for Joseph to defend himself because it's Potiphar's wife's words against Joseph's word. So, what can we learn again from this thing? There is private life and public life that we live, you and I today. Everyone has got a public life and everyone has got a private life. I will give you an example. When my friend was driving me, we started driving in a road which had 30-mile speed limit. Later on, we went to the highway with 70-mile speed limit. But on the 30-mile speed limit, we could see some people overtaking us. We're now in the highway. We are maintaining 70 miles per hour, but still we could see people overtaking us. So my friend asked me, is my speedometer faulty? Or my car has got a mechanical problem? I said to him, I think there are no cameras at this place. And the people who resides here knows where exactly the cameras are and where there are no cameras. So a camera shows a public life of someone, and where there is no camera is a private life for someone. So when someone is in private, when someone is in public, he or she is a good law or a city, a citizen, a law, good, abiding citizen, law-abiding citizen. He follows the law whenever he's in the public. But when that person is in private, something else. So we see here, Joseph is in the pub, is in private. Nothing could stop him from going to bed with Potiphar's wife. Because no one was there. There were no cameras to see him. So normally when people are teaching from this part of scripture, they normally concentrate on moral behavior. Yes, the scripture has got good teachings on moral behavior. But there is all an emphasis on the authority behind Joseph's action. That's where my message is centered today. The force behind Joseph's action. So I will read verse 9b for us, which says, Joseph said, verse 9, no one is greater than in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you. Because you are his wife, how then could I do such a wicked thing, number one, a wicked thing, and sin against God? You see where Joseph is coming from. This thing is bad because it's a sin against God. So Joseph is doing this action of running away from Potiphar's wife. What is it that is compelling Joseph to do so? What is it that is pushing Joseph not to do this thing which is bad? Joseph mentions the reason why he does that. He said, I cannot do this thing because I don't want to sin against my God. That is the pinnacle of my sermon today. The people of Scotland are generous. Let me say the people of Aberdeen. To be specific, Aberdeenshire. When I came here, you know, because of my height, my body, I received a lot of clothes, because when I didn't know how to dress properly during the winter. So the people were giving me clothes, jackets and the like. I was happy some of the jackets could fit me very well, because people were giving from the deepest of their hearts. But what is it that differentiates us or differentiates our giving as Christians or as believers with the giving that is just done by someone who is a non-believer? What is it that differentiates our charity organization? Churches are registered under charity organizations in Scotland. But there are also other organizations which are not religious, which are run by non-believers. But what is it that differentiates us? They give, we also give. The only difference is that we give because we are driven by the relationship that we have with our God. We are driven by the relationship that we have with Jesus. So any action that we do, any action that we are going to do, must be driven by the relationship that we have with our God. Whether in public, whether in private, whatever we do, whatever we are planning to do, we must do it in fear of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do good things, and we don't do good things in order to gain salvation or to obtain salvation. But good works are as a result of salvation that we got from Jesus Christ. We do good works in order to show gratitude to our God. So in summary of my message today, all actions that we are going to do, let us do all those actions remembering our relationship with God. If you are working, at your workplace, every action that you do, wholeheartedly, let it reflect that you have got a relationship with God. Our prayer for life must reflect that we have got a close relationship with our God. I would like to conclude by reading one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 23. This is one of the verses which guided me and which is still guiding me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for man. Whatever you do, whether in church, whether at work, whether at home, whatever you do, do it as for the Lord, not for man. I always tell my wife that I am not a good cook. But you know, my daughter can say anything. She doesn't know that it may disturb my mind. Sometimes I try to cook Scottish food. She says, your food is disgusting. But in cooking that disgusting food, I had done it wholeheartedly. So sometimes, even if you are to be given time to preach, even if you are going the wrong direction, we will correct you later, but do it wholeheartedly. God wants people who do things wholeheartedly, as for man, as for God, not as unto man. You know, when preaching, I am a preacher who wants to be relevant. You know, when preaching, when the message doesn't address situations, and when the message doesn't address the people's lives, it ceases to be God's message. Because our God is a God who communicates with us. We are going into the union. You know, when I say about union, everyone will say, we are going into the union. This is the message for me. You're going to be given duties. Whatever you are going to do, do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord, not as unto man. May the Lord bless the teaching of his word in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to sing together our next song, which is Living Under the Shadow of His Wing.
We will bring.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Jesus, for communicating with us today. Lord Jesus, you taught us to pray for others. Likewise, today we come praying for many nations where there is war, many people has been displaced from their homes, living as refugees. Father, we pray for them, especially those who have got nothing to put on their tables. We pray for those organizations which are extending their hands to help those in need. Lord, we turn our thoughts to the world around us, where we have seen your glory this week. We thank you for images of your glory in the beautiful sky. As the farmers are preparing to start their harvests, and some have already started harvesting, Father Lord, we pray that you will be with them, give them strength, and help them to have everything which they need to do their work. Since we are going to have a Harvest Sunday, Lord, we remember that among the things, all the things that you have blessed us, we remember also to bring a few to your house. Today, as we celebrate our last day as Kemeny Church, going into the union, it is our prayer, Lord, that you help all the leaders who are going to be in the new session, give them the spirit of wisdom, discernment, and even understanding. As we unite with the different parishes, sometimes with the different understanding, different traditions, Lord, we pray for the spirit of accepting one another, for us to move forward. But it is our prayer that, Lord, we don't compromise your word. Lord Jesus, we continue to lift our eyes and focus on you, especially when we remember the nation of Zimbabwe. After the polls, after the elections, as many people are disgruntled, but Lord, you know what to do and you are the answer to everything. You are the answer to all the questions that the people might ask. The children has started school. Father Lord, we thank you because you have been with us while we were with them during the holidays. And other people are still in holidays as they plan to travel back to their homes. Lord, be with them. We continue to pray for those who are not feeling well, those who are sick. The doctors and the nurses, they treat. But Lord, you're the one who heals. Therefore, we pray for healing that comes from above. Those who are bereaved, we have lost their loved ones. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. We pray that you comfort all those who are crying. For these and other things, Lord, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We are going to sing our last song, which is hymn 555, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Before we receive the blessing, there is just a wee announcement about the prayer. I may not say it clearly. Can you come forward and say it?
Yes, just to say that being this Sunday in the month, it's our time together to prayer after the service. It'll be after coffee, so you can have tea and coffee beforehand. But it's just short time, 10-15 minutes to pray for the church, for the union, and so on. So everybody is welcome to join us. You'd be very welcome indeed. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Since we were talking about Joseph, I'm going to read this verse before we receive blessing. When the Joseph's brothers visited him in Egypt, as he was sending them away back to Canaan, these are the words which he said. Then he said to his brothers, he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Do not quarrel on the way." May you receive God's blessing and go in peace. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.
Right, folks, we're not done yet. I was reminded of a parable that Jesus told when I was asked to do this. And the parable was about the master who went away on a trip. And he left behind three servants, one of whom he gave 5 bags of gold. One got 2 bags of gold and one got 1 bag of gold. Now, the long and short of the story is that the one with the 5 bags of gold put them to work and then made them into 10. And the one with the 2 put them to work and made them into 4. But the one that did got the 1 bag just buried it. And then when the master came back, they had to hand over the product of their efforts. And of course, he was a bit unhappy with the 1 bag of gold because it was still just 1 bag of gold. However, this is what he said to the one that had the 5 bags of gold that made 10. He said, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Now, the reason I read that is because it kind of is a nice little backdrop to Sheila, who is resigning or is finishing her term as session clerk, which she has done for a number of years. Now, she's quite open about the fact that she hates writing minutes, and that's a really key part of that task. However, she's done it faithfully all these years, and of course, we in the session are very grateful for her efforts. And I'll be honest with you, it's much more than just writing minutes. There's loads of other things goes on as well. So just in recognition of all your efforts, Sheila, here you go. And I just bear in mind that the reward for your product is that you'll be given many other things to do.